All right, good morning. Arthur Vachon here with Bella Bay Realty. Today I'm joined by Sean Mullenbelt from Mullenbelt Construction. Sean and I met, I don't know, what was it, 2007-ish?
That sounds about right. Long time ago, yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Sean owns Mullenbelt Construction. Beyond that, he's got a couple cool things. You were in the military?
Yes.
Okay. And where did you serve?
I went in as enlisted, and I went in as a carpenter and mason, believe it or not. Right. And a lot of it was at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, and was stationed in Fort Rucker, Alabama for quite a period of time.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Not really, really hot, actually.
Right. And you're also in a band.
I am.
Or a couple bands.
Yeah. I think I'm just going to call it TBD to be determined because we, you know, you get into the business for a while and you just know a bunch of people and, you know, everybody gets different. You know, there's different seasons in your life. Sometimes, right. You know, I'm chasing my kids too much. I can't play as much. So you find a different bass player. You find a different drummer. So honestly, I just throw together now,
That's awesome.
But
that's awesome.
Yeah, we still
you
have fun.
You keep inviting me and I keep not going. So I apologize.
Yeah, you know, I always tell people if I wasn't in the band, I'd be at home on my recliner as well.
Saturday night on the couch sounds pretty good.
Yes. So.
All right. So tell me a little bit about Mullenbelt Construction.
I've been in construction my whole life.
Okay.
Growing up and knew that's what I wanted to do. So that's what I did in the military. Specifically, you know, I looked at infantry and stuff because I wanted to do that, but I wanted to get more of a something I could do after the military. So
not much call for shooting.
Right. I mean, you can do it, but they shoot back,
I think.
Nails don't shoot back, usually nail guns. So when I got out, I went to Western Michigan, became an officer in an engineer unit, vertical construction platoon, then worked construction through college, got my degree in construction management, worked for two different production builders. So I think I probably supervised and ran the construction of a couple hundred houses in and around West Michigan.
Wow.
And kind of started to, then Facebook came and all that. So I started building little side projects, but then taking pictures of them.
Right.
And pretty soon, more and more people are saying, you know, Pinterest. I hated Pinterest because my wife would say, build me this. And I can't tell her I can't. But then pretty soon I start posting those pictures and more people say, build me that. Mm-hmm. And I had avoided going on my own for a long time just because it's scary, you know. But I started getting enough business rolling. Eileen was doing well enough in her work that I could say, hey, if I completely tank, we won't have to sell the house, you know?
Yeah.
So that was 8 or 9 years ago. I just started on my own. And, you know, now I've got, I don't have any direct line employees. I sub everything, but I've got three little two-man sub crews that do work for me a lot. So
yeah, I've looked at your Facebook quite a bit and probably stalk you a little more than I should admit, but just looking at, you know, some of the stuff you do a very, very nice job. It's good quality work. It's something I definitely want. I think I even had you out to my house at one point.
Oh yeah. So. Yeah. My niche though, I'm from Hopkins, Door, Wayland area. So our market, we want nice stuff. We don't need top of the line stuff, but we don't want, like we talked about earlier, we don't want to build a tree fort either. It needs to be middle of the road, solid product, solid price, solid work, but not top dollar. That's just not my thing.
That's key too. I think everybody wants to do those Pinterest things or the things that they see, but budget is always.
And it's just a different mindset when you go to higher end communities. You know, people just have different sets of expectations.
Sure.
And you know, and I don't mean to say that the people that I service don't, but I think we're just more along the same mindset, I guess.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So a couple things I was going to talk about, you know, being a realtor, I think that there's some inexpensive things that you can do to add value, you know, paint and flooring and light fixtures and so on.
Yep.
But are you going to find that the improvements that people make on their property, Is it because they want that resale value, or they're doing it because it's something they want? You know, how do you feel about that?
It's a combination. I mean, one of the first questions I ask is, is this your forever home? You know, what's your 10-year plan, I guess?
Sure.
You know, so a lot of times if they've got kids, like we got kids in high school, we're kind of thinking, what are we going to do in 5 years?
Right.
If that's an option, I think, that they may list their home within the next 5 years, short term, I would kind of steer them to look more towards resale value.
Sure.
Maybe do a little bit more neutral colors, that type of thing. Then if, nope, we're staying here forever, and I said, well, then shoot, let's just do what we want then at that point.
Right. You know,
even if it makes no sense to anybody else, if that's the way you want it and you're going to live here, let's do it.
Right, you know? Absolutely. Well, yeah, you got to enjoy the house.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I was just going to share something just popped in my head. So, fun little story. My wife and I bought our house in 2003. It was a five-year plan. You can see how that went.
Yep.
And just recently, I listed a house. It was... someone actually we know, it was their parents' house, okay. Mr. Volker's.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So his parents built that house in 1988. I stood in the front yard watching them make the first scoop. So I saw him dig the ground and start that construction project. I had the fortunate ability to sell that house to the couple that was in it. They were the third owners. They got relocated and sold it. And I thought, here's my chance. I can buy this house. Like, I adore this house.
Yep.
Brought my wife through. We walked through. And she said, yeah, it's great, but our kids are going to be out of the house in 5 years.
Yes.
So it completely blew my mind, and I went from, yes, bigger, better,
yes,
to, holy cow, we're going to be empty nesters.
Yep.
I need to really think about more things that I could do to my existing home to get that thing ready so that when I do sell in five years, I'm there. So,
yeah,
it was kind of funny you brought that
up. Yep, it's funny. Once you kind of hit the age that we're at, you have to start thinking like that,
right?
You know, you're not used to it.
I'm thinking, the kids would have this room. Yeah, no.
No, they're gone.
Yeah, they're gone. Scary. Anyway.
Yeah.
You know, what are some of the improvements that you would specialize in? And I say improvements, I mean, are you doing a full-blown construction? Are you doing more rehabs? Are you doing more just general renovation? Like,
yeah. I have the capability to do new, never done new.
Okay.
Other than additions.
Yes.
So I've done some three-season porches, some gazebos, that type of thing, or, you know, add a bedroom.
Right.
But I would say specializing, I do lots of baths and kitchens, primarily in the winter months.
Right.
Because I've kind of morphed into a pole barn builder, which I had no intention.
I eyeball them every time.
Yeah, because, you know, when I first started, everybody who wants a pole barn, there's a lot of guys who just do pole barns, and they hammer them out for cheap, you know,
because
they've got 10 guys, they just swarm on it and it's done in a week. And for me, you know, my prices, you know, it's usually me and a guy, me and I might have four guys for a little bit.
Right.
So it takes me 2-3 weeks to build one, and my prices reflect that. So for a while, I wasn't even bidding them, but now I think primarily market driven.
Right.
I mean, I bet a pole barn guy hasn't answered the phone in a year, you know, and he's busy.
Right.
So that part has kind of happened. But as far as, to me, I think a pole barn's more, I'm staying here.
Right.
I'm going to use it because you do get resale value out of it. But you know, if you customize it inside, make your own little man cave and stuff, I don't know if you get your money back from that.
Yeah, I've had that conversation a few times with people. They, you know, hey, if I put a $20,000, $30,000 pole barn on my property, did I just gain anything?
Right.
Maybe 10 or 15?
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
You're not going to get dollar for dollar on it. I think that's more of, like you said, that's something somebody's going to stay there a while and actually utilize it.
Yeah. So I tend to tell people they're going to make their money in their kitchen and their bathrooms.
Right. So, you know, just over this past summer, I talk about this past summer a lot. Obviously, we just came out of it, but new construction was nuts. Absolutely insane. And I've always felt that builders kind of took the stance, this is my price, pay it or don't.
Or don't
care. But the value, I mean, the numbers are nuts. I saw one that was $300 per square foot.
Yeah.
And I ended up calling the builder just out of curiosity, and he said, honestly, I have to price them that way to calm the phones down.
Mm-hmm.
People are nuts. And
I mean,
is it, do you think that relates to increased cost of materials, or what do you think that reasoning is?
No, I mean, I just think it's a because we can price,
sure,
you know. Yeah, lumber has gone up, in particular, like OSB and plywood. Okay. Those fluctuate, but not, oh my gosh, it's twice as much as it used to be.
Right.
I mean, I've had to adjust a few. Like, if I quoted something back in December and now I'm doing it now, I've had to adjust a little bit, but you know, it's not... a lot of it is market-driven, and a lot of it, I think, is trades or lack thereof driven, you know? It's harder to find people.
Right.
And so that's a trickle down. You know, the builder's charging $300 a foot. Well, his framer's probably charging $50 bucks a foot, you know?
Right.
It's just different now.
Right. Would you say then, and I guess this is more of a me question, but just in your own perspective of things, is it going to be more effective to fix up your existing home versus going out and buying new construction just based on like a cost comparison?
Right. I think... I mean, and this is probably just me, but I tend to lean more towards the remodeling thing, because if you've got a place that you're 90% happy with, you know, and again, you're going to throw $10,000 into a bathroom, but relatively, that's a drop in the bucket to $3,000 or $300 a square foot.
Right,
you know?
Absolutely.
So I tend to lean towards make your existing home the way you want it. And because, we just bought a house a year ago, and we're just kind of picking things off as we can, you know?
Right.
Man, I've been wanting to change the trim in the bathroom, and, you know, I pick up $500 or whatever, I go buy some trim, we slap it up over the weekend, you know?
Sure.
So.
And my wife and I have remodeled our bathroom on our main floor 4 times now.
Wow.
So, I think, I can't say I'm running out of projects to do, but you see something online or whatever, or photos posted, and you're like, yeah, I could do that.
So. Yep.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about as far as Mullenbelt Construction or anything?
Yeah. The one thing I wanted to hit on, I just kind of briefly mentioned, was trade shortage.
Yeah.
That's just kind of an aside thing that I've been doing. What I'm noticing is that by and large, our younger people aren't getting into the trades.
Right.
They're just not. And I saw a statistic, and as far as I'm aware, it's right. There are 6 million skilled trades jobs available today.
Holy cow.
Yeah, and that goes from everywhere. I mean, from medical assistant on through x-ray technician. You know, it's all over, but a lot of that is construction.
Right.
And you see, like my own personal school, there's no wood shop in school anymore.
Right.
There's no metal shop in school anymore. Okay. There's no auto mechanics, so... it's relegated to the trade schools, the Votech school.
Sure.
And, you know, everybody kind of has their own little mental opinion of kids. Oh, you're not a good student, so you're going to go build something. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think that's the stigma with that. So I started a little scholarship thing.
Okay.
Just at my own school, Hopkins High School. And I called it Building a Future. And I wanted to raise money to send one kid a year to a technical school.
That's awesome.
You know, and first year, I just put it literally, I think I put it up in February of last year and said, I'd like to give it to a senior. So like super last minute.
Sure.
And I did a GoFundMe page and we raised $7,000.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
So I sent one kid last year, and this kid, he's an awesome kid. Everybody in the community loves him.
Right.
He's, you know, I think I can probably speak for you. We're smart guys, but we're probably going to get a B in school because we're kind of too busy doing a bunch of other stuff.
B would have been a blessing.
Yeah,
for me.
Right. But, you know, he played football. He's in the Honor Society. He did all the... So I looked at the overall kid, and he just wanted to be an electrician. 4-year college wasn't his thing. He uses his hands. He's smart, and he likes to make stuff, you know? So I was able to give him $3,500, and he's using that... He's already been hired by Miller Electric and Door.
Oh, wow.
And they have two sets of training that he goes through. He goes through one, and he works in the field for a while, then he goes through another, and it's paid for.
That's great.
His books, all that.
That is great.
Yeah, so I've actually got $3,500 still banked for this coming year.
For the next one. Wow.
Yep.
Planning to do another GoFundMe then?
I think I probably will, just to kind of keep it going, because my kids go to Wayland now, and I want to extend it to Wayland as well. And what I've discovered, I tried Wayland. Hopkins is more blue collar, you know. We have more skilled trades. We have farmers still, you know.
Right.
Wayland is a little bit more, you know, the kids aren't as willing to do sure. that type of stuff. So I didn't even have enough interest to give out a scholarship over there. Wow. I did from the school, but not necessarily the kids.
Right.
So it just depends on the mindset of the community. But
right.
I think in short order, it's going to become a necessity, man.
Sure.
I mean, I keep telling these kids, you know, you go to a four-year school, you're 100 grand in debt.
Right.
And you have a business major like the other 1,000 guys right. applying for whatever job.
Not everybody can be CEO.
Yeah, and if you learn a skilled trade like that, guys will be beating down your door to pay you sure. too much money to do your job. So,
well, that's awesome.
Hopefully, yeah.
Well, good for you, man. I hope that thing continues to grow.
I hope so,
you
too.
Can do some good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to wrap up today. Sean, thank you.
Yeah, thank
you. Thanks for talking. I'm Arthur Vachon, Bella Bay Realty. I hope you enjoyed.